Welcome to the Passive with Property podcast. I'm Dragan Dymovsky. In this episode, we're thrilled to be joined by Helen Tarrant, a educator and buyer's agent with years of experience helping clients find and purchase commercial properties. Helen has built a reputation for her deep knowledge of the market, her strategic approach to property selection, and her commitment to helping clients achieve their investment goals. Today, we'll be diving into the pros and cons of buying commercial property and hearing from Helen on the important factors to consider when evaluating potential investments. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just getting started, you won't want to miss this conversation with one of the most respected names in the industry. So without further ado, let's welcome Helen Tarrant to the show.
Welcome to the Passive with Property podcast, hosted by Dragan Dymovsky. With over two decades of property investing, Dragan is a qualified property investment advisor and buyer's agent. We're committed to the education of both first-time and seasoned investors in property investment and wealth creation. The Passive with Property podcast is brought to you by the Buyers Agency Australia.
Helen, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, always a pleasure to talk about property.
Fantastic. So, Helen, you are a buyer's agent for commercial property. Company is called Unicorn. You're also a speaker mentor, and you've been investing in property yourself for almost 15 years. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. But foremost, more than anything else, we're probably an educator in the commercial property space before a buyer's agent. So I've got a firm belief that all of our clients go through an education process before they become buyer's agent. It actually makes them a better investor and it makes them a faster investor. And it also makes them more sophisticated in the marketplace. So, you know, I'm not educating as I'm doing the deal. Commercial is very different from residential, where there's a lot of hidden stuff that comes out of it and during the DD process. And you're trying to educate a client at the same time as doing the deal. It's very hard, and they end up losing the deal because they're up against other very sophisticated investors who, you know, I always say to our client, well, imagine that you're in the playing field and you're trying to get the deal and someone like me comes in and we have the ability to turn something around in with in-house legals, due diligence with 24 hours. We pick up a property, go call the agent and go, hey, you know, I'm Helen Tarrant. This is our credentials. Google us. Yeah. And there's no need to know yet. We want to put the bid into this property. You know, they're going to go, well, they're sure bet. We're going to call our finance guy, call our DD guy and go, just go over this property, put the spreadsheet up. It's going to be done. Let's sign the contract here. You got kind of thing. Imagine you're up against something like us. You can't, right? Yep. You have to better be educated before you do the deal.
Exactly. And look, the whole purpose of this podcast is all about education, and this is why we got you, you know, the commercial expert. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became a commercial property an agent and an educator?
Yep. So I bought a couple of residential properties. I bought three residential properties. I went to seminars and I read some books on residential investment when I first started. And this was, I was born in China, came out here when I was seven. Very much, you know, working class family. My father never really made more than $50,000 a year in his lifetime, working for Coles as a baker. My mother sewed and does clothing manufacturing at home. So, really, we just didn't have anything handed to us. It was sort of everything's from scratch. And really, for me, I'm a big implementer. So before I even finish a book, I start implementing already. I take the idea and I go, you know, this is I think my team lives in fear of me reading another new book or another business stuff because I wake up and I walk into the office and go, this is what we're doing. And they're going, oh, shit, we haven't even gone past the past thing that we're doing, right? So they kind of live in fear. Wow. And they always know when I haven't slept because there's like, we have a group chat and there's messages from me for 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, and there'll be a property post. I saw this and I'm emailing someone, can you check if this can be repurposed? Can you check what we can do on this one? And they know I haven't slept because I've just spent all night looking at like online and all these property deals. So I think this is sort of how, you know, being Asian, and I guess, you know, you're coming from an ethnic background, you know, like, it's very much with a family, it's like touch, feel, brick and mortar, right, over stocks or shares or equity. Like, they don't understand
exactly,
that. Going, yes. Can you see it? Can you feel it? What can you do with it, right?
That's
where the passion is for property, right? So I thought that you would get always – you build the passive income and everything else. And I think that one of the things that happened, and this will probably happen to a lot of the listeners, is that the serviceability thing comes into play.
Then we
start thinking, well, what else happens when, you know, what can you do when you've got serviceability? Because you can't move very fast. And incidentally, because I was also, you know, moving into my own business, transitioning to beauty therapy, that I realized that, look, a commercial, you can get a lot more cash flow. It can be, you know, can be secure if you choose the right tenant. It's all about the tenant selection, the location, the fundamentals of the deal, right? And that's where, you know, people have to understand the fundamentals of the deal, and that comes from the education. Fundamentals of the deal can't change. Everything else can build upon it, but fundamentals don't change. And you've got to know your fundamentals. So, And I just honed in the skill set by doing a lot of deals, and I didn't even, like, there was just no one in the market that did commercial property to the breadth and depth that we did it. And by 2016, being an investor myself, I realized that, look, there's this gap that people should be taught on how to invest in commercial property. I never thought I'd be a buyer's agent. Just always thought I was going to get on stage and teach people how to invest in commercial property. And then after 12 months of doing it, my clients actually came to me and said, look, I just can't, like, we love your education. We try to implement it, but then we get stuck somewhere and we'd never go anywhere.
Yep.
So can you actually then find us a property? And I wasn't even sure about that. I was just like, look, I'm not really sure. Let me give it a go. I can't promise anything. So I sort of took a batch of clients, you know, like I think about 7 of them, and said, look, I'm going to try and find you property that are specific to you, and went through that process. And, you know, they still have the property today. And that was back in 2017. And a lot of them have gone from there to, you know, third, fourth properties. So it's kind of at this point that I go, well, you know, I'm actually really good at this stuff. I can actually do this. So that's where it came about.
Yes. So some of the time, exactly that, you know, even though education is very important and you learn a lot on how to do things and what to do, sometimes you just don't have the time to implement that. And this is why, you know, a buyer's agent like yourself is perfect to come in and do that that extra step.
Well, I think, you know, like one buyer's agent to another, with what you do, I think that the market took a while to understand what is it that we did, right? And I think, you know, I was around when buyer's agency never was a thing, right? And I did it for my client because it was an on-flowing, almost like an upgrade to the education that they have, right? That they can choose for me to help them, or they can go out and find their own law system. And I think by default, we grew from that because then they got friends, family, and it wasn't really until after COVID we started marketing this because, and that may be our mistake, because if we marketed a lot more for sooner, we could have dominated the market, but we just never needed to because our clients would bring referrals and they would repeat continuously on. And then we thought, okay, well, we can probably grow a team. But I think the market in the last 2 years have really seen value in a buyer's agent. And I think you yourself have seen that people now realize they are time poor, that they can't research all the areas around Australia, that they need to go and see an expert, someone who lives and breathes this stuff, right? And get that advice and get that guidance. And especially for people who are trying to grow and just not ad hoc buying one or two deals, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think that in the industry is still young, and I think in a couple of years' time, we're going to define our space, right? The buyer's agents are going to define our space, and it will come to a point where it almost becomes a norm for people to seek a buyer's agent if they want to invest in property.
Yep, definitely. I totally agree. And there are many benefits of having a buyer's agent, and you know, some of them is, you know, the networking with the selling agents and knowing exactly what to look for that someone that's, you know, inexperienced can pick out. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and also I think it's the off-market deals. I mean, I'm sure you get the call. We get the call. I mean, yeah. I don't even use our clients sort of, you know, webinars. When we do presentations, they go, oh, what kind of website do you use? Do you use the Real Commercials of the world or the Commercial Ready? And I don't anymore because I don't actually use any websites. I mean, if I'm standing in line and I'm not going to scroll through Facebook, I'm going to throw through like Real Commercial, Commercial Ready. But and all my team does that because I don't have time. But I don't really sit online anymore and go through listings, apart from the fact that I do have a team to do that. But I actually just get the call. Every day I get a call or a few calls actually from agents about here is the deal, right? And
exactly.
And that's the magic of it. Like, and these are the deals that don't go to market. Like, you know, today, this morning, just before our call, I got a call to say, hey, you know, we've got a site that's got Woolies and a few other things and we think you could get it above 7%. And we're like, wow, okay. Yeah. What is our price point? They're like, oh, maybe 4 to 5 mil. Look, that's probably a few of our investors coming together to do it, or maybe one large investor. Mm-hmm. But still, like, we get those calls varying from a property that's 500K to, you know, 5, 10, 12 mil. So, I mean, that's the magic. I mean, you would too, you know, there's people who have a site and they go, you know.
So, in the commercial space, what would you say the percentage of an agent off market, so properties that are not advertised, would be?
Okay, so this is where it gets a bit tricky. Okay, so if you are in Sydney, almost everything goes to auction. There's not that many off-market deals in Sydney.
Yeah, same as the residential space.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're in Melbourne, it's probably like a 25%. You'll get it before it hits market. And then if they don't get the price point, they'll go to market. And a lot of them are auctions or EOIs, very similar to sort of Sydney. But when you're in Brisbane or Queensland, we're in a different market. I would say that along that strip of Gold Coast, Brisbane and Sunshine, we're probably 50-50. And then when you get into regional, where we're in areas like Bundaberg and Townsville and Cairns, like in a town like Bundaberg and in Townsville, we're like the largest player in that town. And we know all the agents. We know what tenants are tracking from one property to another because they're moving from one of our other clients to another one and the agent's putting another one in there. Like the agents don't even call our clients anymore. They just call us. So, by the way, there's this movement, right, of happening, like, and we've got this new incoming tenant. And for them, by the time the property's already on the market, they've already got a buyer. They're putting it on the market so they can get leads and they've already got a buyer in the back end.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Okay. So the percentage is pretty much very similar to what the residential space is. Okay. Okay. Good to know. So let me ask you, what are some of the advantages of owning a commercial property investment in comparison to, you know, other assets?
So I guess the number one thing is cash flow, right? Cash flow. I think that in this current market, where even we see interest rates at 6% and maybe trending upwards, you can still get properties between, you know, 6 to 8% yield. So if you want to be in a metro city and that's secure for you, you can still get 6%, which means that, you know, you're still clearing some money to cover off the money you've put in terms of a deposit. If you want to be in regional, we're looking at 7%. And it was a 7%, even if 100% borrowings, you're clearing $10K on every mil for passive income. If you're in smaller regional, and these are your Ayres, your Bowens, your Portlands, and your maybe if you're in Sydney, you know, further inland from Wagga, so, you know, your smaller towns like, heading towards Armidale and things like that, you are going to be able to still clear cash flow. And that's important for a lot of people because they're trying to support their residential portfolio, which, you know, have gone from neutral to potentially negative. So they're trying to support that. And I think what the game in this market now, right, is the person who can hold on to the most amount of assets on the other end wins, right? So even 2 years from now, you can hold on to all your resi, you can grow your portfolio at the same time, you're going to come out exponentially wealthy. And so it's about how to actually structure your portfolio. And so this is why I think that that's really the difference between having a commercial versus something else. Is it actually helps you with supporting the rest of what you do, whether that's a business, whether that's an extra income, or whether it's to support your residential portfolio.
Okay, awesome. So let's ask this question for listeners out there who are beginners in investing. And if they're thinking, okay, do I invest in a residential or commercial first? How does it work when they want to borrow money? So obviously it's not just, you know, it's not like borrowing, going to the bank and borrowing money for a residential property. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's different from Resi because it's they've got no doc, low doc, and full doc loans like you would in residential, but the metrics are a little bit different. So your low doc loans, counterintuitively for people, it's actually for people who are on ABNs and low income, self-employed people. They're actually structured that way, and you can get up to 80%. Right, a full doc loan can maximum go up to 75%. So it's kind of counterintuitive, but a lot of people also remember buy their own premise through that, through those finances as well. No doc loans doesn't even, sometimes won't even need the servicing. It can be actually secured against the property at up to 70% if someone's doing an uplift project. But the most important thing about commercial is what we call a lease doc loan. And we do this day in, day out. And this is probably most of our clients that are in Sydney, Melbourne, because we're highly leveraged in Sydney, Melbourne, as serviceability tapped out, is to use this lease doc loan. And simply, the lease doc loan is a form of a loan that only uses the income from the lease to test for servicing. Yep. So let's just say, let's work this scenario. Let's say that you're buying a property in let's just say for this example, it's 7% yielding in regional, it's $1 million purchase, nice round numbers, and you're borrowing 65% of the $1 million. So you're borrowing $650,000. Now, your interest repayments at 6% is $39,000. So then 9,000. Now, when you take the lease to the bank and the lease shows that it's doing $70,000 a year in net rent, after all outgoings, net rent, it's actually about 1.75 times the coverage of that actual interest. So the bank will look at that and say, yes, it fits our margins. Most of the time it's 1.5 times the interest and they'll write the loan. I mean, that's fine. So they'll just write the loan and say, or you go, off you go. We don't need to look at you, your asset liabilities, and there you go.
And they won't even look at what you're earning or income or last year's tax return or anything. They'll just go off the lease and go. And obviously you need the deposit of, did you say 35%?
It's 35%. And don't forget 35%. You need cost as well. So unless you're at ACT or Adelaide, you're going to need 5% to budget 5% for costs. Yeah. And like for someone like me, I would do lease stock loans because I've got properties everywhere in different entities.
Day in, day out, right?
And I just don't have, like, my accounting is like terrible that I don't have time to submit all of that. So I just basically go, here's a lease stock loan, here's a deposit, let's just write and go.
Are you stressed out not knowing where to find distressed, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas? What about the best strategy to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Look no further. Dragan Domofsky can help. With 20 years of experience as a property investor, Dragan is a qualified property investment advisor and expert buyer's agent, so he knows how to find the best deals and negotiate for his clients. And right now, he's offering a free 45-minute strategy session to get you started, normally worth $500. Text the code PWP along with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 now to take advantage of this offer. Don't wait. Take control of your financial future today. That number again, 0405 105 074. You're listening to the Passive with Property podcast, hosted by Dragan Domofsky. To ensure you don't miss out on valuable investing tips and information, subscribe today.
Okay, so for listeners out there, they'll probably be asking the question, okay, sounds great. Is there a limit? I mean, if I have this deposit constantly going, can I eventually purchase 10, properties ongoing?
Absolutely. And just keep going. As long as you have a deposit, you can keep going. And look, there's no limit, because when we do a syndicated deal, what we call an investor pod with our clients, and I guess this is probably, I'll send you an invite to come and join and see one of these. We are actually, the way that this latest one that we're doing is a 12 mil property. So we're syndicating 16 clients, roughly around 16 clients to buy. They're in a unit trust structure and it's a lease stock loan. Right, because, and the bank will give you a little less because we have so multitude of investors. So there is 60% on this, but it's non-recourse. You don't have to give a director's guarantee. It's basically secured against the property. There's enough income out of the property to service the debt, and the investors each just put in the deposit.
Okay, fantastic. That's pretty good. So so can we get into the risks of purchasing an investment commercial property?
The biggest risk you've got to remember in commercial property is that anything that you're doing in commercial as opposed to residential is going to cost you an extra zero on the end, right?
Okay.
So a pure example is I recently bought a house with my parents, and the my resi broker said to me, oh, you need to pay for the valuation. And I said, that's fine, because we pay for valuations in commercial all the time. And I said, how much is it? And she's like, she was like, oh, you know, it's $495. And I was like, that's fine to charge my car, because we're used to $4,950 for a commercial purchase, right? Yeah. Like on this 12 mil deal, our val, I'll be surprised if it comes in less than $8,000, right? So we're used to dealing with an extra zero, right? So, you know, like I go in recently, we're looking at a space for one of our staff members relocating into Sydney, and they wouldn't renovate the kitchen. I was just looking at the kitchen, how much, and they go, oh, about $3,000 to renovate the kitchen. I'm like, for us, it's like if we put a kitchen in a commercial space, it's $30,000 going upwards, right? So everything, it adds to extra zero at the end of it. And so we're used to dealing with much larger numbers of thousands rather than hundreds. You've got to remember that if you make a mistake in commercial, it's an extra zero on the end of it. Wow. So you get it wrong, it's not 1,000, it's 10,000, right? Oh, it's 30,000, it's 50,000, right? So I think the thing is that's why you need to invest in the education. That's what we're so strong about, people, you know, doing the education or at least reading my book. So, you know, I will send you a copy of the book, Dragon, but also, you know, I'll provide a link so that people can get a hand on there. On the
down
book,
below. Yep, no order, problem.
Order it. Because the thing is, the education is what's going to stop you making that extra mistake that's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars. And I said that's also the value of the buyer's agent, is that it's going to cost you that as well. So it's going to save you that as well. So often when they engage a buyer's agent, like a lot of people think, oh, we can do it ourselves. And I'm sure you have that same with what people think. And I think that's a mistake of mentality, because we do negotiate for our clients. We take that, and I'm sure you're the same. We're aligned in that same idea we're going to bat for our clients. We negotiate everything. We do the best of our abilities on every single deal. It's a moment in time. Like, we can't guarantee with a crystal ball that tomorrow the tenant is going to leave, or we can't guarantee that, or in your case, that the capital growth is going to go next year. These are all crystal ball, but the best of our guesstimate, right? You know, we try to minimize the mistakes. And I always say to all of my clients is eyes wide open, right? I'm not telling you to buy or not buy a property, but what I'm going to tell you is the facts of the property and where I think this property is going to trend and where the market is going to go. So if... And I've said to some clients, don't buy the property, like, because you're going to need a new roof in the next 2 years and it's going to cost you $100,000. And they've still bought the property. So go figure, right? What would I know? But I've said to some clients that, look, this is not a deal breaker. And for them, it was too much for them to walk away. You know, so everyone varies. And you just got to know that the reason you would engage a buyer's agent and is to minimize your risk. And the risk you can't get rid of risk altogether, because that's investment, right? You can't get rid of risk altogether. What you can do is minimize that risk. And in commercial, the biggest risk you have is making a mistake on the tenant, making a mistake on the location because it doesn't suit the tenant, or the location is not going to yield the continuous growth of rent or growth, and or you're making a mistake on the actual I guess the lease terms and the actual all of everything to do with surrounding the fundamentals of the property, right? So the tenancy is obviously important, but sometimes the tenant just does not suit the premise. It just doesn't work. So later on, they're going to leave. Sometimes, you know, you pick a location and you've done it yourself and you just go, well, it's really great. It looked really great. But when someone who's professional looked at it and went, why would you buy that? Why would you buy that property? Because it's got access issues, you know, and they didn't consider this. It didn't have a grease trap or it didn't have, you know, all of this stuff. And we would consider that because it's very tenant specific. And then, of course, sometimes some leases are drafted, like we've seen leases all across Australia and we literally deal with thousands of leases. And some leases are just drafted terribly. And, you know, one of the big things about this is that every time you go into a new town, or a new city, you get screwed over. That's just what happens.
Yep.
Like when I first went into Rocky and I bought my first property in Rocky, I got screwed over. I had one of the worst leases there and, you know, it's just sort of, but yeah, that's what you learn. Like, you don't want to do that. You don't want it to be the only property you buy that you get screwed over every time you go to a new town.
Screwed over, that's right.
Yeah, you get and that's why you engage
a professional. That's right. That's right. A lot of people do think, "Oh my God, is that how much a buyer's agent costs?" But once they actually go through the journey, and you tell them what's wrong with this property, and they think it's a good deal, and then you show them another one and how much of a discount they can possibly get, or you do get them for it, then they sit back and go, "Wow, okay, it's good. We used one. Next." What's next?
Okay.
Can you provide some examples of successful commercial property investments and sort of what made them successful?
So,
it could be a client or yours.
A variety of them. So I guess what most people want to know is how do you make something successful in commercial? I think it's it's good to great. It's the analogy of good to great is that you don't look for the perfect commercial property, which everyone is mistaken to do in this market. When they go out themselves, they go and find the perfect commercial property. The problem is you pay for it in returns and the price, right? So you would go to an auction, or you go to get a brand name tenant, like you want a Woolies, you want a BWS, you want a Coles, you want a Liquorland, you want a childcare center. Great. They're yielding 3-4%. That's fabulous. You know, you're not making any money out of it. So most people are attracted by that. The profession of the property, the search for profession in the commercial space is so strong that people are going to pay above market for this stuff, right? And this is where we kind of come back to it, is that we look for properties that are imperfect, and we're straight up with our client. The property you're going to get is going to be a high yield, but it's not going to be perfect. But what we will do is teach you to make that property from good to great, because it's the fundamentals of the property still exist, from good to great in the time you own it. So by the time you own it, it's a good yielding producing property. It's going to produce you the cash flow. It's going to give you the growth, and it's going to allow you to continue to buy, right? But you also have to understand this might be a 12-month process. For some people, it's a 2-year or 3-year process if they're tweaking different things in the process. And I think that is really the understanding. And all of our successes have come from that. Like, I bought a childcare center in Townsville in 21 December. And it was, and at the time I said, oh, you know, this is a great little childcare center. Should have given it to our client. It's $440, you know. And then I was like, well, thank God afterwards I did give it to a client because, no, like, you know, it had non-compliance issues. It had, like, we dealt with a vendor who says, take it as it is. We're not going to fix this stuff there. You know, there's a trip hazard. We had to rebuild the sand pit. As you know, when you're dealing with childcare centers, the levels of compliance is very, very strict, right?
I'm sure it's very high, right? Yeah.
So you've got a leaking sand pit. You've got to figure out how to rebuild a leaking sand pit, right? And you got insufficient coverings for the play area. And then the kids are at risk of having a burn when they come down the slide, which you don't think about these things, but it's very tenant specific, right? This is their concerns, right? You go in there, and the first thing I do is every property I buy, I go in there and I talk to the tenant. What is your issue? right? And their issue is, I don't have enough air conditioning in this unit. We don't have any storage to store our toys. We don't have any covering issues because we can't, in a hot day, like this property was in Townsville, a hot day in Townsville with like 40 degrees, the kids can't play on the play area because they're in danger of being burnt. I mean, and the list just goes on. And I was like, thank God I never gave this to a client because all of these things I have to go
You would have had those issues, yeah, them knocking on, coming back to you and go, what did you put me in?
Yeah, right. Well, exactly that, right? So we went through and just went, well, let's fix all of this stuff, right? Let's get your container storage, you know, which had to get access from the neighbors. Let's get a container storage. Let's rebuild the sand pit. Let's get a new air conditioning in. Let's get like, what can we do in terms of flooring, covering? What can we do, right? And we've got slip hazards and trip hazards. What can we do to bring that compliant? So let's get all of those things fixed and then let's discuss the lease. So the tenant then afterwards signed up on a new 10-year lease and we did that in 12 months and then we sold it at auction for $713,000. So for most people, that's a win. That's a win.
That's a win. That's definitely a win. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for your first time, you know, even beginners, you know, within first, second, third properties for sure. Okay. So Helen, how do you identify properties that would be a good fit for your client?
Oh, it's very individual. So what I do is I actually spend a lot of time up. And I get this all the time because I have like over 300 videos on YouTube. We've got a podcast and people can consume literally 12, 15, 50 hours of my content online for free, right? And and people, I become the voice in their head and they email us after the YouTube, they've consumed my 10 YouTube videos and they go, really love it. This is what I need. And they give us a breakdown of what they need. And they go, can you find me that property? And I said, no, what I need to is have this conversation with you and work out whether you actually need that property. So I never go and find a property for a client until I've done an in-depth strategy session. So they come on board with us as a client. We go through all of their pieces, right? So they basically say, here's a dump of where my resi is, where my super is, what I'm working, my hobbies, what I have invested, where I want to go in 5, 10, 7, you know, years. And these are my, what I want to incorporate in those times. And what I do is I start moving the pieces around. I start, look at this and I say, hey, you know, this is not financial advice or anything, but this is how I would do it. Because what I find is most people, when they get to their 40s, have accumulated some assets, but they've now have things everywhere. And they can't see through the murky waters whether they should be doing what their next strategy is and how they can get to retirement in 10 years. And this has been something I've been really good at, is being able to look at all the pieces and says, if you move this and move this and you pull that money from here, if you sell this and buy this. And a lot of times I've actually even said to some of our clients, look, you're going to do a commercial here, then you need to go and do a resi. You need to do a resi because you need a quick in and out and you need to bulk up that deposit and go again. Right. So I'm not against residential. It's that it's got to be an overall strategy to work going forward. And I'm a strong believer that they work together to build a stronger portfolio for the client.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I agree. So tell me now, once you find a particular property for a client, how do you negotiate with the seller, the agent, to get the best deal for your client?
So once we go through the in-depth strategy, we start building out a profile. So we send the client some samples. They go, yep, we really like the sample. We're going to work with this. So we now know this is what they're looking for. And for some of them, it might be a metro. For some of them, maybe regional. Some of them might be fringe, multi-tenant, whatever it is. So we define a criteria. Yep. It's broad enough for us to search, and narrow enough for us to niche down to their individual needs. And say we find a property, and this may be from a phone call from an agent, this may be us finding it online, or it may be from a newsletter, or it may be just through our contacts. Sometimes we know vendors directly or developers directly, and they'll give us a property. Now, from there, what we do is we look at whether the fundamentals of that property exists. So, you know, like recently, and this is another example we got, and this is how crazy the market is. We were anticipating that the market somewhere like in Townsville, which we deal a lot in, would open at 7% with the interest rate being at 6. They opened at a 6% yielding industrial property. That was one of the first few properties that was sent to me in February. And I said to the agent, this is very ambitious. $1.25 million. $70,000 in net rent. This is very ambitious for Townsville. Right? He goes, oh, yeah, it's pretty ambitious for the for the vendor, but you know, that's where he wants to be. And I said, well, how close can we get to 7? Because I'm not taking a 6% yield in property to my client when the interest rates are 6%. Now, if this was Melbourne or Sydney or Brisbane, I would absolutely do it at 6% because they recognize the value, but not in Townsville, right? And he said, well, you might get it at 6.25, you know, you got to try six and a half. And I was just like, that deal for me is not even worth, you know, presenting it to a client, right? And sometimes the client thinks we're not working for them, but I've looked at that property. I've had a conversation with the agent and I'm not going to take that to the client. It's not because I didn't see a property. It's just plain stupid for me to take it to them, right? Because they're going to think I'm not credible because I'm taking this. But then sometimes I have to send this to the client and say, look, it's not like I'm not working, but I just want to send to you what's been sent to me and telling you that I've rejected this property already. And we go through this process. Sometimes, you know, like we would say, yes, you can get it to 7 and we'll get it close enough and then we'll present the deal because we got the parameters of what they're willing to accept, right? And with this particular property, he said, oh, another buyer's agent in down out of town has offered, you know, a 1.23 on a 1.25 property. And I'm like, they must be mad. Like, who would do that? That's a negotiation. Anyway, I said, you know, don't worry about it. We'll pick it up when it falls through our finance. Don't worry.
When it falls,
when it falls, because we found that there's certain properties where we can't get it the first round, but in the second round, we're able to renegotiate lower and more.
When it comes to resi, what I do, I'm a big fan of properties falling through on finance is because the vendor, the sellers have waited such a long time that they become desperate when it falls through because it's been a waiting period. And then they go, okay, great, we have to go through the whole process all over again. And this is where we come in and say, okay, we've got someone ready to go. Here's the price. That's that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. I think that's very smart. And I totally agree. Sometimes it's a patience thing. You have to actually wait. And I'm not patient, but I know that certain property deals you have to be. And that's how we sort of go with our client. We always try to set up the initial, like we're not going to take a property that's not going to fit their criteria and say to a client, let's negotiate on it because we just end up with disappointment, right?
Yeah.
Let's get it into a realistic realm. And then we go, okay, we're now ready to do the final 10% of negotiation and we involve our client in that process. Because sometimes I can tell you that, you know, 50% of properties we negotiate on falls over because someone else has come in at a much higher price they're not willing to do. Someone's come through and said, hey, you know, they've got a cash contract and we're not able to fulfill that. So there's certain things that we just know that we're not able to, but so we're not going to put our clients into that position where they tried, they get their hopes up, and then they get disappointed.
Of course, of course. Now, Helen, explain to the listeners on how equity grows within commercial property because it is different from residential.
Yeah. So this, again, comes down to the fundamentals, and this is why education, again, comes really important. So commercial property actually has capital growth in two folds, and most people don't understand that. In my book, I actually detail how it works. But commercial property, the reason it has two folds is because it has rental growth and it has market growth. Now, you can have one without the other and still have growth in your property. But when you have both, that's when, you know, you shoot the stars out, right? You have exponential growth. So when you have market growth is what we have in residential, is when everybody pushes the price up and the returns come down because people are expecting the market to heat up and grow. So that's exactly the same as residential. So if you invest in residential, you understand how capital growth works that way. The other thing that happens is that in a flat market, rents still continue to go up in the commercial space because it's tied to the lease. And so some people, that's a CPI increase per year, a 3%, 4%, or 5% rental increase per year. So what does that equate to is that that's almost a guaranteed capital growth on the back end of your property. So in a flat market where say everybody's buying into a place like let's say 7% or 6%, that 6% and 7% stays put in the flat market. So next year it'll still be 6%, the year after it'll still be 6%. But what changes is your rents go up. right? So if your rent goes up from, say, $70,000 by, say, 4%, which is quite common at the moment because CPI is so high, a lot of tenants are going there to fix their rate at 4%, it's an extra $2,800 on your rent. So year one is 70, year two, 72, 800. But the rate, the yield, which is the cap rate in the market, which is the returns, and it hasn't changed. Still 7% because we're in a flat market. But now your property is worth $1,040,000 as opposed to $1 million last year because, you know, of the rental increase. And you can see that $40K actually equivalent to 4%. So whatever you're getting in a rental increase in the lease in commercial guarantees you that capital growth on the back end. So, and that's before market happens, right? So if market, you know, compresses a little bit, which can happen. So let's say that this time, you know, in Townsville, instead of being 7, it opened at 6.5 and it was 7 last year. Your property is now worth $1,120, so $120,000 more than what last year was. So you got your 4% and extra 7% growth on top of that. So that's where it becomes exponential.
Yep. Also, I guess one of the, going back to something else that I should have touched on earlier, is also the benefits of your tenants paying expenses and outgoings.
So everything in the commercial space is traded on net rent. So whether, and it can be two things. So for example, you have a hairdresser in your tenancy and she's paying $40,000 net rent plus outgoings, and the outgoings are $20,000. She's paying $60,000 a year. Right. So, that's what she's paying. Now, she could alternatively be paying $60,000 gross rent and $20,000 of that goes out as outgoings and $40,000 is the net, right? Either way, those two properties are sold exactly all the same on $40,000 net rent and exactly the same price. So everything in commercial, regardless whether it's a net rent, net lease or a gross lease, is always sold on the net rent basis. So we have to reduce everything to the net rent. The only difference is when you go and calculate, when you're looking at it as a layperson for the first time, it's harder for you to work out the net rent with someone on a gross lease and there's someone on a net lease. On a net lease, you just go, oh, well, the 40,000 plus outs, we don't have to worry about the outs. I'll just take the 40,000 divided by the market rate, market yield, and that's it. Whereas someone gives you a gross rent of 60,000, you go, hey, Mr. Agent, you now have to give me the outgoing so I can verify that it's 20,000 and what the net rent is. So for someone who's starting out, that's a lot harder. And believe me, that we're dealing with a 10 million plus property where the tenants are on gross leases and we're trying to itemize on something that is like a 10, like 9 tenancies, 10 over 10 mil, what the outgoings are. And we're thinking, all right, so the management fees are not meant to be 25,000. It should really be 50,000. The maintenance fees, and we start to add layers and layers and layers of this, right, onto it. So, so again, like everything's traded. Just remember, everything's traded on a net rent basis.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, so we've got a lot of information there. Thank you. So what advice would you give someone that's just starting out looking into investing into commercial property?
Get my book, Cashed Up with Commercial Property by Helen Tarrant. And also play a YouTube channel, Commercial Property Roadshow with Helen Tarrant. Google Helen Tarrant, you'll find lots of free information. Look, when you're starting out, the most important thing is to get yourself used to what a commercial property looks like versus a residential. Unsync. Just pretend you know nothing about investing in commercial. Don't bring your preconception of residential into the commercial space. That is the worst thing someone can do as a commercial property investor, is that they bring their residential to the commercial. And I've had a prime example where a client will go through and do an inspection and we go through and do a commercial inspection totally different. Like we look up, we look at the ceiling, we look at, you know, we check for, you know, things like mold, we check for structural issues, we check for, you know, any leaks and you know, any potential, you know, issues that's going to come at 10, 20, you know, 12 or 24 months. And then I've got a client who's going, well, the light bulb's broken, the tile is broken, there's a leaky tap, and I want all these things fixed. And their solicitor saying to them, you've got to be kidding me, because that's not a commercial legitimate thing I can even go back to the vendor on, because he will just say, well, that's the tenant responsibility. I've even had a other buyer's agent, you know, on the other side of a property that I've sold, said to me, you didn't replace the hot water system for your tenant. And I said, did you read my lease? It specifically said the tenant needs to replace their own hot water system. So it's not my responsibility that it happened, right? So it's about bringing your real, just saying, look, I know nothing. I'm just going to find out and take things at face value of what it is, and find unbiased information on commercial property. That's the most important thing. Don't be skewed by an agent who tells you this is the greatest property in Rockhampton and is yielding 6%, because that is not. Let me tell you that, that is not. And benchmark it. That's the other thing, benchmark it. So what is Sydney doing? What is Melbourne doing? Benchmark it against those cities, and you'll know if you're getting a better or worse return.
Fantastic, fantastic. Look, I'll add all your links down below so people can easily find you, and if they want to purchase your book. Helen, thank you very much for today. That was amazing. I'm sure the listeners are going to get a lot out of that, and we'll definitely bring you in another time again to do this all
over.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Passive with Property podcast, hosted by Dragan Domofsky. For valuable information on property investment and wealth creation for both first-time and seasoned investors, be sure to subscribe today. The Passive with Property podcast is brought to you by the Buyers Agency Australia. Are you stressed out not knowing where to find distressed, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas? What about the best strategy to build a wealth-generating portfolio? Look no further. Dragan Domofsky can help. With 20 years of experience as a property investor, Dragan is a qualified property investment advisor and expert buyer's agent, so he knows how to find the best deals and negotiate for his clients. And right now, he's offering a free 45-minute strategy session to get you started, normally worth $500. Text the code PWP along with your name and email address to 0405 105 074 now to take advantage of this offer. Don't wait. Take control of your financial future today. That number again, 0405 105 074.